What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And the phone lines are still closed, but we are going to open them up probably close to the bottom of the hour when I get past all this stuff. The situation in Syria is very, very tense. As you know, Obama and his top military advisors had a meeting last Friday to discuss options in Syria, most of which involved very large explosions. No word has come on out for what the meeting decided, but John Kerry is on his way to talk with our coalition partners right now about the situation in Syria. So I read that as the U.S. has decided a full-on invasion is their best option. All they need to do is figure out a way to make it look like it's Syria or Russia's fault. And this, of course, is very worrying, because if you remember, about 2 weeks ago, we had a story where the U.S. was starting to paint their aircraft to match the colors and patterns of the Russian warplanes. Now, obviously, this is not going to fool other pilots in the air with IFF systems and so forth. But if Americans were to take their planes painted to look like Russian planes and blow up something really important, the people on the ground are going to say, oh, wow, it looks like Russian planes just bombed something important. And it wouldn't be the first time that falsely marked aircraft or ships were used to attack somebody, or aircraft without any markings at all, like Israel used against the USS Liberty. So that looks like that's on. Meanwhile, Putin has deployed the Admiral Kutsanov, their main aircraft carrier, their only aircraft carrier, their flagship, to the Mediterranean to support whatever's going to happen over there in Syria. Now it's a race to get this thing going, because four more towns, the militants, have agreed to surrender their weapons, accept Assad's amnesty, and return to talks with the Syrian government. That's huge. Meanwhile, the U.S. and the Saudis are granting 9,000 ISIS fighters free passage from Mosul in Iraq to Syria. Now, there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, I don't think Iraq is happy that the U.S. and Saudis are allowing these ISIS fighters to escape, although it's certainly going to make the retaking of Mosul that much easier, which means the plan for the greater Kurdistan has already gone into the trash can here. But certainly Russia's not going to be okay with this. The Syrian government isn't going to be okay with this. Neither the U.S. nor Saudi Arabia have any legal authority to plunk 9,000 terrorists into Syria. Now, as I mentioned with one of the callers in the last hour, Russia and Syria have agreed to an eight-hour pause on Thursday to allow humanitarian assistance to the people of Aleppo. And based on prior history, I'm predicting that the U.S.-backed rebels, terrorists, will not abide. They'll continue firing and fighting and taking advantage of the pause. Meanwhile, there are bombings in Baghdad over the last 2 days, over 100 Iraqi civilians killed, being blamed on terrorists. But at this point, who really knows? Now, apparently the U.S. is apologizing for having bombed a funeral home in Yemen in the middle of a funeral. And they've killed 155 people so far. 5,000 bodies have been recovered. And they're calling it, oh, it was a mistake. Gee, we're really sorry. And aren't you getting sick of this? Every time the U.S. or Saudi Arabia blows up a school, oh, we're sorry, it's a mistake. Funeral home, oh, we're sorry, it's a mistake. Hospital, we're sorry, it's a mistake. Talk about the gang that can't bomb straight. And they were doing the same thing up in Syria. We're here to get the terrorists. Sorry about the refinery there. Sorry about all those Doctors Without Borders hospitals. You know, mistakes happen. You know, these things. Yeah, you're just being picky, getting on our case about this stuff. Now, over in Yemen, there's obviously a false flag operation going on, because now for the third time, the U.S. is claiming that there has been a missile attack against their ships from the coast of Yemen. Now, Yemen is denying having anything to do with this thing. And you need to remember that Yemen sunk two similar type ships Saudi Arabia bought from the U.S. They're at the bottom of the Gulf there now. And yet we're supposed to believe that Yemen keeps missing while aiming at these U.S. ships. Over at the New York Times, they're cranking up the anti-Russian propaganda. And their latest one is the Russians are using inflatable decoys of military weapons to confuse adversaries. How could they do that? Well, they probably got the idea from the Allies in World War II. There were entire units, military units, whose entire job was going around the countryside with these inflatable airplanes and tanks and all the rest of this stuff to set up decoys to lure the German bombers to hit basically bags of air. When I was still a screenwriter in Hollywood, I actually wrote a screenplay about this, the inflatable army. And it was a comedy, and it actually got optioned. But it's not exactly a new idea. And why is it okay for the U.S. and the British to do it, but when Russia is doing it, the New York Times say, oh, those evil Russians, how dare they do that? We're going to take a moment here to send a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. Meanwhile, Robert McNamara is out there pushing his book, The Fog of War, and he was being interviewed about this, and he admits now officially that the Gulf of Tonkin attack did not happen. Didn't happen. Johnson, of course, used that to get us into Vietnam. Now, if you are a regular reader of my website or listener to my show, you've known this all along. This is not news. But McNamara's out there to sell a book, so he's going to act like this is groundbreaking. There, the Gulf of Tonkin attack didn't happen. Buy my book. I'm not going to buy your book. It's full of stuff we already know. It's not newsworthy for these fossils to come forward and confirm that all of these things were hoaxes. We already know that. And I don't need Robert McNamara to come on out and confirm it for me. Now, if you are a rum and cigar aficionado, it is time to celebrate. The U.S. has lifted restrictions on Cuban imports, including rum and cigars. Talk about lousy timing because I just gave up smoking. But if you are an aficionado, the Cuban rum and the Cuban cigars are going to be showing up in our stores. Now, many, many years ago when I was up in Canada, which was above such nonsense, I did sample a Cuban cigar. They are everything the mythology says that they are. Now, getting on to the economy here, this is a very alarming story. It's coming out of Investment Watch blog. Central banks have stated they're now willing to accept temporarily high rates of inflation. Ooh, it's only temporary. Well, that's what they said about quantitative easing. That's what they said about low rates. These things are never temporary. You're told they're temporary so that you'll go along with it, and then it's never temporary. We're now officially entering into the hyperinflationary spiral that will destroy the U.S. dollar. Couldn't happen soon enough, in my opinion here. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia has already burned through these major cash subsidies that were poured on it. To help its economy recover from that harebrained attempt to hurt Russia's economy with an oil price war. And in classic hoist with your own petard fashion, that oil price war caused a lot more damage to the U.S., to South America, to Canada, to Saudi Arabia, to all of the oil producing nations than it did to Russia. Now, Donald Trump made a reference recently to, quote, international bankers, end quote, saying that Hillary Clinton was an instrument of these financial ne'er-do-wells and the international banks. And that's all he said. He did not ascribe a nationality or even a country to the international banks. That was it, international banks. And immediately, all of the Israel's defenders were in a lather. Jonathan Greenblatt, the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, was out there saying that Trump is engaging in rhetoric that historically has been used against Jews and it will spur anti-Semitism. And he's saying, let's get hate out of the campaign. Well, Jonathan, Trump didn't say anything about Jews or Semites. All he said was international banks. Are you, Jonathan Greenblatt, the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, admitting to us all that all of these global central banks are tied in with Jewish interests? And if so, aren't you being the one that is spurring anti-Semitism with that claim? Methinks the CEO doth protest way too much. Now, over in Germany, Angela Merkel, you have to give her one thing. Her dedication to her masters is unflagging. And she's out there saying that Great Britain, even after the Brexit, can't block freedom of movement, as all EU nations will want it. Well, that's already falling apart because more and more of the EU nations are starting to institute border controls. They'd love to have freedom of movement for the Europeans. The problem they've got is freedom of movement of all these refugees who are coming on in, committing all these sexual crimes, straining the social services network, and more to the point, they're bringing in all these highly contagious diseases that had previously been eradicated in Europe. And I might add, here in the United States, we've got tuberculosis back in the land again. I'm sure the Easter Seals people are going to be out there with their stamps again. And anyway, after seeing how Merkel treated Greece, who cares what she has to say about her delusions of a united Europe? Now, the people of Germany have a completely different point of view. Deport them. Get rid of them. They want the refugees out, and they're going to be voting for nationalists in all the coming elections, which means Angela Merkel is basically at the end of her 11-year career in power. And Europe's going to have to get ready for life without Merkel, which probably will involve a certain degree of celebration. Story coming out of Press TV that the European Union is probably going to fall apart even before the Brexit formally happens. It's coming apart. It's been an absolute disaster for the people of Europe, for the economy of Europe. They're fed up with it, which makes Hillary's comments in one of her paid speeches even more ridiculous, where her head is full of this hemispheric common market, and it will be beautiful, and we will all hug and kiss each other and sit around the campfire singing Kumbaya. And it's just not real world, and it shows how some of these leaders, whether it's Angela Merkel or Hillary Clinton, are completely out of touch with what's going on out here in the real world. Now, there's a very alarming trend going on in this country of trying to shut down the independent media. And one of the major focal points was up in North Dakota. The prosecutor was seeking riot charges against Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! For simply reporting on the Dakota pipeline protest. Now, the good news is they're looking at the anger this has generated across the country. All charges against Amy Goodman, as of last report, have been dropped. And that is a good thing. Whether you agree with Amy Goodman or not, and I don't always, you do not dare allow the government to come on in and start harassing any journalists anywhere. Because that tells you you're living in a dictatorship. Now, Obama is out there screaming about the Wild West media landscape. It's completely out of control, meaning it's out of his control. It's out of the government's control. He's describing us as the Wild, Wild West, which to me, that's kind of a positive thing. And he's saying we must have some kind of a curating function people will agree to. Well, I got a newsflash for you, Mr. Obama. I don't agree to be curated at all. I have an idea, though. How about we start with making it a crime for the government or corporate media to lie to the people? And that's going to civilize things right quick. Because right now, the law in this country is the owners of corporate media can order their prostitutes and correspondents to lie to you. And if they refuse, they can be fired. That doesn't seem like something that's going to build trust in the corporate media. Same thing with the government. If you lie to the government, it's perjury. If the government lies to you, it's politics. What Obama wants is to go back to the world where the government could fill your head with any kind of nonsense, like torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin, and you would believe, as you were told to believe, and throw your children into the war in Vietnam. And it was all a hoax. And they miss those days. They miss the golden age of being able to lie to you with impunity and take your money with promises of global warming, take your children's lives because Saddam had nuclear weapons. The independent media isn't the problem. When you talk about Wild Wild West, you're talking about lawlessness. Well, doesn't law begin with the government? If you want a civilized discussion, let's constrain the government to be truthful with the American people, because no place in the Constitution is the government allowed to lie to you. And certainly the corporate media should not be allowed to lie to you with impunity. I got a newsflash for Obama. If the government were being 100% truthful with the American people, if corporate media was being 100% truthful with the American people, I wouldn't be here. It's not like I grew up dreaming that I would one day be a truth activist and a talk show radio host pointing out how the government and corporate media lies. I really had other ambitions. This isn't fun. It isn't well-paying. It is merely necessary because government and corporate media made it so. And so if Obama wants to see this as the Wild West, well, then count me as one of the gunslingers out there. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now if you want to call on in, because I got the important stuff done here. And thank you for being patient with me. But we had so much to get through here. Now, Vladimir Putin was over there at a BRICS press conference. And, of course, it's been completely blacked out here in the American media. But he was talking about NSA, and he was talking about Joe Biden's threat of a cyber attack against Russia. And Putin turned around and said, this is the United States admitting that they have developed a capability of cyber attacks against other nations. That's how you should view this. That's how you should look at this one right now. Meanwhile, a legal challenge against Britain's government has found that GCHQ and MI5 are engaged in illegal bulk data collection. And you know, it's almost a joke. Whether it's in Great Britain or here in the United States of America, if you sweep up every single piece of data, you can't do anything with it. And there have been professionals inside the NSA and surveillance companies saying, it's too much. You know, if you want to find a needle in a haystack, the last thing you do is throw more hay there. And it's got to be targeted, because this science fiction dream that if you have every piece of data in the computer, you can instantly find the important stuff, it simply isn't true. Addition of data to a database is linearly additive, but the correlation among that data is an unlimited expansion. Even the NSA does not have enough computer power to make sense of this stuff. I mean, they're harvesting raw intelligence from Facebook. And I got to tell you, people lie on Facebook, especially if they're trying to get a hot date for the weekend. It's not a reliable source of actionable intelligence. Of course, it's a huge moneymaker for the company selling the NSA the computer. And if the NSA gets bigger budgets, it's just like the TSA. It's an excuse to get huge amounts of government money, and it won't accomplish anything. They haven't actually found any terrorists. They can't even find the ransomware writers. It's a complete, total waste of money. So, there's the music. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And one thing that may have been the reason why Royal Bank of Scotland, which is owned by NatWest, have all of a sudden yanked the plug on Russia today, is apparently Max Kaiser, in his latest show, spent the entire show on all the corruption and fraud at RBS, which has been historic. But then we know the entire banking financial system is surviving on fraud right now. And so maybe RBS just threw a tantrum and said, we don't want to do business with you anymore. Which is actually a good thing, because it means that if there's an honest bank anywhere in Great Britain, what am I saying? If they can find an honest bank anywhere, I'm sure Russia Today will be back in business very, very quickly. All right, let's start taking phone calls. James in Northern California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good show so far.
Thank you.
You know, I'm calling from Northern California here, in Kenwood, halfway between Napa, Sonoma County. It's beautiful.
Yes, I know
but
the area.
Somebody that's been, you know, one of my county's most prolific activists this last 10 years, I can tell you that from city council on up, there's something going on. Now, it's above my pay grade to describe exactly what it is, but you know, you cannot get there from here employing common sense and assumption of goodwill or anything that we were taught in civics class. There is some kind of X factor that is getting these people on the program from the bottom all the way to the top. you know, these people have two eyes and two ears and their mouth moves and stuff, but they ain't like us. And I think that's becoming, you know, very plain to everybody right now. And, you know, I'm just, look, they are going to do something with this election. I think that we all know that. I mean, yes. People that are a little bit awake like myself, I mean, for years we've been saying what they're probably going to do is synthesize some kind of event so that they can usher in a state of emergency or martial law and suspend the election process. And I'm just, I'm wondering, you know, what are the people going to do in this next chapter? And they would very much like to reduce it. We can all pretend like we're, you know, patriots and we're going to take up arms and all this stuff, but they would love to reduce the dynamic to one of civil unrest, because this dynamic now, where they pretend like we have representation and talk to us like Mr. Rogers and control the media while the independent media expands in an unprecedented manner, this is hard for them to get their tentacles around.
Yes.
But once it's reduced to a civil unrest kind of dynamic, you know, now they're talking, now, you know, we're talking their language.
Well, first of all, I want to go on record again. I'm absolutely opposed to the idea of some kind of an armed rebellion or civil war in this country.
Yes.
But I feel like one may be coming, and I'll tell you why. When you execute some kind of a hoax to transition a government, whether it's the burning of the Reichstag or any of that kind of nonsense, it works if your people are still trusting in the government, so that when the government says we've been attacked by outsiders, we must suspend so many rights and everything to deal with the crisis, and the people will say, yes, I understand, it's an emergency, we have to give up certain liberties. But our government and our corporate media don't have that anymore. They've already lost the trust and faith of the American people. Trying some kind of a stunt like that right now could easily trigger a revolution of people, not just because they don't want to live under a corrupt government, but the sheer fury of finally confronting how much we've been lied to our entire lives. That's going to be very, very difficult to control. And, you know, if revolution or civil war comes to this country, I mean, I know what side I'm going to be on. I don't know that I'll be all that useful at my age or anything. I personally still would rather see our central government collapse the way the former Soviet Union did, because that will mean the fastest route to change and the least amount of bloodshed. I don't think we're going to get through this thing without some blood being shed, but I'd like to keep it to a minimum, which is what happened when the Soviet Union fell. So I kind of think
we need people from the inside to be doing the right thing, and I think there's evidence to suggest that they will.
I think some are trying to do that, but again, like I said, Hillary's campaign is literally spying on her own people, and that's got to be a slap in the face to these people. All right, well, listen, James, I'm going to let you go. We're going to take a break for commercials. We've got more callers waiting when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phone. Steve in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
What James just said there, too. I think those UN troops will be what they'll use for a national emergency if there's civil unrest. They'll call those people in because they could fire on citizens without a problem. You call on local law enforcement to fire on citizens, they might say, wait a minute here, this is not right. But UN troops, they could do that. But
There's a problem with that. Let's stop and talk about this. Those UN troops would be facing up against U.S. troops who, like U.S. law enforcement, are going to say, no, this is wrong, what's going on? Now, I know many years ago there was what was called the Combat Arms Survey that was being given to Marines who are exempt from posse comitatus for some reason. And results of the Combat Arms Survey were basically saying, if you were ordered to forcibly disarm the American people, would you carry that order out? Would you be willing to shoot Americans who resisted? And the results of the Combat Arms Survey came out in the affirmative, but I actually knew one of the Marines who took that because when he'd stopped being a Marine, he got into graphic arts and he did a lot of work for us. He was a very nice gentleman. He was really very nice guy. And he basically said, yeah, he took that Combat Arms Survey, but their officers made it very clear they were to answer in the affirmative, regardless of their personal feelings. And it may be that hopefully somebody realized that they got a bogus result, because what our friend said was, in private discussions with the other Marines, they said, no way. No way are we going to fire on the American people. And I think if the Obama got UN troops to come on in to try and take control of this country, they're going to run smack up against all of our current serving military and every single veteran who's still able to carry a gun.
Well, I tell you what, I hope so. I really do hope so.
I hope we don't get to that point. I hope we don't get to where we find out, but I think if we get there, that's what's going to happen.
Good. I hope so. When you talk about election fraud, and I just almost surely will say that Clinton will try election fraud. She can pull it off. But we need to be kind of resilient like Al Franken was when he realized election fraud stole the election from him, and how he kept pushing back, and he finally won that battle. He did win that battle on the election himself. And then the last comment I want to make is, when you talked about the Cuban cigars and all that stuff, I laugh at that, because I can tell you probably firsthand that up in Congress, up in Washington, for the last 50 years, every politician up there has a bottle of whiskey and Cuban cigars on the bottom of that file cabinet for the last 50 years.
Oh, yeah, they come out inside the diplomatic pouch, which is actually more of a trunk. And, no, I've seen people around here who've got the Cuban cigars. It's kind of a status symbol that they're able to run the blockade. But, again, for the Washington elites, you know, they see themselves as above the rules and the laws. Look at how many exemptions to the Iran sanctions have been handed out, how many exemptions to the Russian sanctions are handed out, to the privileged and the connected. It's a joke. We're literally seeing a government who openly has this idea, the laws are for you little people, and us elites, well, we play by a second set of rules. There's a lot of that inside Hillary's leaked speech transcripts, where what she's saying to ordinary Americans and what she's saying to the people with the money are complete opposites.
Right. You know, I don't know if it was what website, it was either on Freedom Phoenix or something, vice versa. Former President Jimmy Carter came out and said that we are not a democracy, we are an oligarchy. So if you want to get a chance, check that article out, maybe put it on your website.
Yeah, we absolutely are. Well, all governments evolve toward oligarchy, and it's kind of ironic that Vladimir Lenin predicted when Western capitalism failed that it would devolve into fascism in order to preserve its wealth and power and privilege.
Hey, thanks, Michael.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? Mike,
doing?
First of all, if the UN ever tried to come in, forget about the military and law enforcement. The people themselves in this country wouldn't allow it. They destroy these guys. They'd have no morale. They never, when they go into other countries, they're totally ineffective, the UN troops. It would be they'd be massacred. As far as another martial law taking over, I believe our domestic police would be massacred if they tried to turn on the people. The only ones that I think really would turn on the people are the federal police, and they'd have no chance, not in the slightest. And I do believe this, too. The governors of these states should be prepared. They should be prepared to take, you know, to first of all, to nullify federal orders to do anything. They should also, the county sheriff, which is to me the only real law enforcement, the county sheriff should start deputizing as many citizens as possible. So
yes.
if federal agents come in there and try to enforce gun laws, for instance, there would be enough armed force to make it clear to them, no, you don't. And it would be under the color of law, too, because they would all be deputized. As a matter of fact, I remember recently a sheriff in Utah, I believe it was, said if he has to, he's going to deputize every, I think it was about land grabs that the feds were doing, he's going to deputize every citizen in his county.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, as far as Russia goes, I don't know what kind of psychos we have. Even during the Cold War, they understood you're not going to win a war like that. At the very least, it's going to end in the destruction probably of mankind. Now, in a localized war, I don't think we this army of today, this feminized army of today, with very little morale, I don't think would stand a chance against Russia in a localized conventional war just in the Middle East. But I am surprised about one thing. You said they only have one aircraft carrier, the Russians? I would have thought they had more than that.
Well, so, Russia has come to understand that the aircraft carrier is actually a relic from World War II. There was actually a meeting, I think it was last year, the Joint Chiefs got together talking about power projection, and they got this top Navy admiral to come on in and say, if we go to war with Russia and China, what is the life expectancy of our carriers? And the admiral said about 2 weeks, three if we leave them in the port. And especially if you look at the Gerald R. Ford, it's been this hugely expensive platform that they're now admitting is never really going to be suitable for combat. See, the U.S. is making the same mistake they made going into World War II. Everybody knew the battleship was the mainstay of naval combat. And carriers, yeah, they're kind of a novelty, blah, 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 blah. And during the early part of the war, the battleships were just getting hammered by the aircraft carriers. Well, the U.S. has been investing huge amounts of money refining the weapons with which we won World War II, while Russia and China have moved on ahead. And the fact of the matter is that these large carrier groups are very vulnerable to today's sophisticated missiles and torpedoes. Russia has the one aircraft carrier mostly to support littoral combat in a small regional area. But I don't think Russia ever envisioned going head-to-head, force-on-force with the U.S. With carrier battle groups. They're going to be fighting the war mostly with submarines and missiles.
Oh, you think, in other words, you think a submarine would be enough to take out an aircraft carrier?
Well, there was this huge embarrassment back when we were getting into Iraq where there was a submarine called the Safir that was playing the op for in war games involving the U.S. Carrier Teddy Roosevelt. And this one little submarine got inside the screening group and simulated the sinking not only of the Teddy Roosevelt, but of, I think, five of the auxiliary vessels as well. And it was hushed up and nobody wanted to talk about it. Those surface vessels are very vulnerable. For one thing, along with staying with that paradigm, the U.S. has become overly dependent on active defensive systems. And the ships themselves are not built very durable. They're not built with a lot of armor. There was an embarrassing situation where one of the Arleigh Burkes was experimenting with a new drone, and the drone got out of control and hit that tower on the front deck that carries the spy radars. And it punched right on through the metal, was just thin aluminum, and destroyed about $30 million worth of computer gear. And any weapon system that can get past the active defenses, the phalanxes and so forth, is going to be able to sink the ship quite easily.
So don't these madmen that govern us, don't they understand what would happen if they pick a fight with Russia? Don't they understand that it could involve the end of mankind as we know it? I mean, even during the Cold War, we had people... Look at Kennedy and Khrushchev. Both of them knew war. Both of them understood it. And they were rational men, and they basically compromised. Khrushchev agreed to get out of Cuba, and Kennedy secretly, I think very rightfully so, agreed to get the U.S. missiles out of Turkey. And that was it. But you had two rational men.
There's two different agendas at work. There's two different agendas at work. The whole purpose of the Cold War was to continue... The wartime economy from World War II to go on taxing the American people for a constant program of building weapons without actually having to fight a war. And it was hugely profitable. And again, go back to Eisenhower's farewell address, and he warns us about the military-industrial complex. Today, though, it's a different agenda. They're not just trying to continue the military-industrial complex because it has continued unabated from the end of World War II to today, producing hideously expensive junk, which is what it's all about. Today, the agenda is trying to bring the world back to Bretton Woods and to literally bring the world back under hegemonic domination of the U.S. dollar. And you're not going to do that with a Cold War. That's going to take a hot war. And that's why... They're pushing for all these hot wars. And again, look how many countries the U.S. has invaded, drone struck, a regime changed just over the last two decades. And you'll realize that we went past anything that could be called a Cold War years and years ago. We're into the hot war right now. The question is, how hot is it going to get?
Yeah, where are these money junkies going to spend their money when there is no world left, for all intents and purposes? In their bunkers? And hopefully we have enough sense. I hope we have enough people to spot and know where these bunkers are, so that the minute, God forbid, this ever starts, it's about to trigger off, I hope they'll stop them from even getting into their bunkers.
Well, I have a different plan. I have a different plan. Let the money junkies go down into the bunkers and then cement over the hatches. Problem solved.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to let some patriots survive so they'd have something to start a new society, maybe, rather than
I think there will be survivors. I don't think we're looking at the absolute extinction of humankind from nuclear war. Now, if somebody's got some kind of an unknown, mutated, biological weapon, it could be completely different. But the nuclear weapons are going to be used on the strategic targets. Obviously, sitting here on Oahu, Claire and I are very, very nervous about being this close to Pearl Harbor. But nobody's going to waste nuclear weapons on the heartland of America, the farming country. There's no reason to do that. They're going to be aiming those nuclear weapons at the military bases. Those are going to become hot zones that we can't go into for a long time. But I do think we're going to see humanity survive. I mean, humanity has survived some incredible cataclysms. At one point in the distant past, according to mitochondrial DNA, there was an incident that reduced the total human population to only 8,000 around the globe. It's thought that it may be tied in with the Toba supervolcano. But obviously, our civilization and our species came on back.
I'm sorry. But
go ahead.
I heard Paul Craig Roberts the other day. I forget who was interviewing him, but anyway, he said that just one of these nuclear bombs that Russia would throw at us, and I'm sure we have the same thing to throw at them, landing in New York State would eliminate three-quarters of the state, period. Just destroy three-quarters. And three or four of these nuclear bombs would destroy the entire East Coast. So, I mean, how are our countries going to survive with that kind of...
There's a little bit of good news there. And it has to do with the fact that both Russia and the United States walked back from building gigantic multi-megaton weapons. I think the biggest one ever built was called the Tsar Bomb by Russia. It was a 100-megaton weapon, and when they tested it, they dialed it back to 50. They were that scared of it, and it left a huge scar in the earth that you can still see in Google Earth. Today, nuclear weapons are built to be tactical, and they're limited to kiloton ranges, and in order to constrain the amount of destruction, because nobody wants to blow up the entire world. So the most common nuclear weapons are out there. They're selectable yield, and they generally top out about 150, 170 kilotons. So they're not the big giant ones like we saw during some of the Pacific tests here with Bravo during Operation Crossroads.
But I mean, by today's standards, a pop gun. Like here, it hit Hiroshima and, little boy and fat man. These are considered pop guns to today's nukes. And look at the damage they did. I don't know. You might be right, but I don't know. I tell you the truth. I still remember the thing about the man, mutual assured destruction. I just think the people in charge of this country today are mad, plain and simple. They've never been in the military, most of them. They don't understand war.
No, they haven't.
They don't understand anything other than politics and how to cut your throat politically. That's all they do. They don't understand taking on a guy like Putin who means what he says and says what he means. He's a Russian patriot. He's not like some clown like Obama who really hates this country, or a crook like Mrs. Slick Willie. He means what he says and says what he means. That's one thing about Donald Trump. I believe he's a real patriot, and I think he would step this back. But if he gets to be president, first of all, if he wins, second of all, if we even get to when he starts his presidency, the world isn't destroyed by that.
No? Yeah, I'm afraid you're right about that one. If it looks like Donald Trump is going to win, I'm counting on the war hawks starting the war before he can even take office and sticking Trump with World War III the way the bankers stuck Herbert Hoover with the Depression of the 1930s. And again, you know, basically they want to reshuffle the deck because right now the U.S. is losing economically, and they're relying on the history of the U.S. always being on the winning side in all wars, except, of course, for Vietnam. But that kind of hubris, I mean, everybody who gets into a war thinks they're going to win or they've got a good chance of winning. Sooner or later, they're wrong, and I know they're wrong this time. We cannot win. Yeah, okay.
I just want to say thank you, Julian Assange, if you're somehow hearing this. And I want to also say thank you, Putin, if you really did hack these emails. I don't think you really did, but if you did,
he did.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. No, Assange has already said they didn't come from Russia. Mark, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Yes. Got another caller waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Mateus in Canada, thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. How you doing? I got a
few items here. One, I wanted to mention that on the second debate, the hostess added on to a question, basically, did you stop beating your wife question. It was, did you change your ways just after walking off the bus or just recently before the debate? It's like, it's none of her business to be asking a question in the first place, and it's a total gotcha question. Like, it's so pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if we had, these criminals, they don't like being laughed at. And wouldn't it be funny to have Trump debate a Hillary double and just have a big comedy routine and, like, totally expose all the Clinton stuff in a funny way and totally show the media bias in a funny way? Like, they should hire some comedians and put together, like, a Saturday Night Live kind of, like, just make everyone laugh at the criminals. That would bring them down faster than getting angry at them.
Well, that would be a really good thing to do. Unfortunately, the entertainment industry and Hollywood are very much controlled by the liberals, not to mention a certain ethnic group. And anybody who's not towing the line doesn't have a career anymore. I mean, that's the reality. As a matter of fact, there was a story that just came on out here where apparently Amy Schumer was doing a show in Tampa, Florida, Sunday night, and started ragging on Donald Trump, calling him an orange, sexual assaulting, fake college-starting monster. 200 people got up and walked out on her. And we all need to have the courage to do that. You know, if you're in a show or something like that, and they start going on Hillary and Trump and everything, and you're not comfortable, have the courage to stand up and say, I'm out of here.
Yeah, definitely. And didn't you love it when the media entered the stadium in the Trump rally and everyone's like booing the media, and they look all surprised and shocked. You know?
Well, you know, welcome to the real world. I love that, by the way.
Yeah, that was great.
Listen, somebody in the chat room.
Hang
on a second. Oh. Somebody in the chat room just came up with a good idea. We should all start going to the Hillary Clinton rallies and hand out cigars and a note with love from Bill to all the women there. Because remember, that was one of the tacky things Bill did when he was in the Oval Office.
Yeah, good idea. Hey, so Hitler said, quote, let me control the textbooks and I control the state. And I just wanted to point out that the most interesting word is the first one, let. And that's right. We have to first let Hitler do something, then we can be suppressed by our original letting. So it's the same thing as like letting the electronic, let the vote go to electronic machines. We let that happen. Or we let the police filter high IQ people out. We're letting that. So just to keep that in mind, I wanted to kind of present the other side of the argument of the civil uprising. And I'm on
okay,
your side.
Mateus, we have to take a break here. Stay on the line. I'm going to come back to you after station identification.
Accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.